In a world of mindless movie cliches, one podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Midnight Madness, the ultimate game that requires sophisticated strategy. And rigorous self-control. Yeah! Midnight Madness, it's about...
It's about girls.
I thought you'd never ask.
It's contagious. It's Midnight Madness. Catch it at a theater near you.
To VHS Rewind. My name is Mark, and I am here with Christopher. How are you, Christopher?
All right, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I broke into that song a little early, because this little interview goes on for a little while, where these two beautiful girls...
But it's so
girls,
damn catchy.
These two beautiful girls are roller skating around campus, handing out invites. They just walked in on Eddie Deason.
And he shoos them away.
And if you know anything about VHS Rewind, you know Deason Palooza is happening. And that's the number one reason why we chose Midnight Madness for this particular episode. So
can
how
I just,
are you?
I just wanted to talk about those two chicks.
Yeah.
Over the opening credits, they factor into the plot a little bit. But one of them is what would have been my... wife, but if I had been, she's just this gorgeous redhead, and it turns out her name is Debbie Richter, and she was in Cyborg with Van Damme.
Oh, really?
And she had a different hair color. That's why I didn't immediately recognize her. And I think it was like 8-9 years later, so she's looking kind of haggard. But in this movie, she is like so gorgeous, and the blonde. The blonde was, what's her name, Kristen Baker, and she was in Friday the 13th Part 2.
Oh, really?
And you would know her if you saw Friday the 13th Part 2. Well, was.
I saw the mugshot that you posted of her, where she looks like, I mentioned that she looked like a little bit of a haggard version of Piper from Orange is the New Black.
Yes,
but I don't know if you watched that show.
I don't watch that yet.
You'll enjoy it. It's a lot of girl-on-girl action.
So I'm tired of prison shows after that. I forget what the name of that prison.
Oz,
yes. I mean, just the shit that went on there.
Yeah, this is like Oz meets Sex in the City.
Oh.
Nazis and everything.
Maybe I might have to watch.
No, it's actually a relatively good show.
But it's a shame. Kirsten kind of had a rough life there. I guess Debbie Richter did too, because she married Charles Hayde from Hill Street Blues.
Wow, but I mean, that's,
for a while.
But you know, that sounds to me like Hollywood marriages. You know,
this is true.
This is a Hollywood type of movie.
But fucking Charles Hayde, Jesus.
Yeah,
anyway, sorry.
I know the name. I cannot place who he is.
He was a redhead too on Hill Street.
The last time I saw Hill Street Blues, jeez, I just have no idea.
Right, I know. Like the first time it was on TV was the last time.
Yeah, like 1983 maybe or something. I think, you know, Fish was right before it or something like that.
Ouch.
Now, this is also, you know, I'm not 100% sure if it's his first movie. But Michael J. Fox is popping in here at the age of 19.
It's funny. If we're doing a Deezenpalooza and Deezen gets a sort of like a back seat.
Sure.
In this one, but Michael J. Fox, who's fourth billed, according to IMDb.
Yeah, sixth movie, by the way.
But he's in the frame of so many of these scenes and has no dialogue.
Yeah. You know, like,
the first scene where he appears, he says nothing when he should be talking up a storm. But we'll get there.
There's a lot of scenes like that. Like in the arcade, he's just kind of giggling to himself. And it's like there's no dialogue.
And when he does talk, and I'll point this out, there's a scene where he's talking, and I swear he's like on drugs or something because he's like slurring his words. Well, and I'm like,
does he have braces half the time?
He does. He's got like a, what do you call that? It's not a brace. It's
like a retainer?
A retainer.
Oh, because right, because it's part of the scene.
Right. They take it out.
Thank God they had it. Now, all right, Midnight Madness came out on February 8th of 1980. That means I was 7. I did not see this movie until it played on HBO a lot.
I was 13 when this came out. Never heard of it.
So you couldn't have dated that girl. A girl was too old for you.
I know she was, but still.
Yeah, I of course never heard of it. But I mean, I remember this being one of the shows that would air like 3 times a day on HBO, like right after Kidco or something. Or Car Wash, you know, or something.
Ouch.
You know, it was one of those kind of like repeating forever movies that, all right, I'm going to learn to love it. But I always liked it. Yeah, no, you know, I enjoyed this movie. I don't know how you felt about it, but I thought that this was a pretty good movie for what it was, and it also represents the early 80s very well.
It does. That it does. I mean, just that theme song alone, you heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I don't know if you watch this, but the jeans that certainly the ladies wear.
With the stitching.
With the stitching, and they're pulled all the way, you know, just like tight around there.
Yeah.
And the men, you know, who's the fat guy's team, let's say. Yeah. You know, they had bell bottoms on theirs.
Yeah, and the, you know, like Hawaiian shirts. And a lot of cool cars in this movie.
I did see something about the Jeep that Norton drives around in, David Norton. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call him Dr. Pepper.
Right.
Throughout this show.
Doctor.
But they call it a Jeep, but it's not really a Jeep.
I think, you know, I have to get a picture of it because I'm kind of remember too. It might have been a Wrangler.
Maybe.
This movie cars. This is, I think, a website that talks about all of the different cars that were in a particular movie. So, what color was that? Was it yellow?
It was yellow.
Which, ironically enough, was their team color. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, the premise of the movie is this really smart guy creates a puzzle, and they go on a scavenger hunt throughout the night. I mean, you could probably explain better than that. It's actually more interesting than just that.
No, you're right. I mean, we don't learn much about the game master. He's called Leon. We don't learn much about him, how he set all of this up, like mm-hmm. how he could possibly set all of this up.
Right, like the hacking into like the arcade machine so that has a specific ending.
But why don't we have Leon talk?
Okay.
I can't access my notes at the
same time. I have them. So Leon explains?
Is that like the second or third clip?
Yeah.
Yes, that's the one.
All right, here we go. He's walking up to the door. He got his invite.
Hi. Won't you come in?
Chris's dream girl opens the door.
Doesn't she sound so cute?
What does this mean? The most challenging adventure of my life?
Please be seated. And we'll get started.
Since the dawn of time, man has sought amusement and intellectual stimulation in the form of games. For centuries, man has improved and perfected
Now, this voiceover is so funny. It's the kind of thing like, oh, if you're gonna try to make your voice really deep. And it's just so dramatic. Like, in the organ in the background, I just think it's pretty funny.
Countless varieties of games, but there has not been a major breakthrough until tonight. You have been invited to participate in this glorious event. And now it is time to meet the person who has made all of this possible.
Leon!
Please, hold your applause. Allow me to explain why I've gathered you all here.
So Leon comes behind from behind the screen, and Leon's kind of like a Bob Dylan looking kind of guy.
Just like scary looking, and there's no reason why these two chicks are hanging on him. But
and there's also no reason why we should know or care about Leon, because we've never heard of him.
Right.
And it's like, Leon, like, why? What is this guy's deal? That, like, I always thought it would be very cool if, I thought about this during the movie, if he was one of the teachers, and maybe he was teaching in the beginning, and then,
well, again, we never learn, and I think his landlady calls him a student at one point.
I think he is a student.
And we should make note that Dr. Pepper is actually, like, a counselor at a school.
Yes.
So it could all be, like, college related, but it's just never made very clear.
No. But here we go. I'll finish the clip.
The five of you are invited, more accurately challenged, to compete in my latest creation, the ultimate game, which I call the Great All-Nighter. Each of you will act as a team captain and select your own crew to participate in the game, which will be played in the following manner. Sunshine? At the onset, each team will be given a complicated clue, which, when solved, will lead them to a location somewhere in the city. Once there, the team must use its skill and wit to obtain the next clue. That clue leads them to the next location, and so forth. The game will begin Friday at sunset and continue on through the night until one team is the first to arrive at a final location, the finish line. There, the winning team will receive a trophy. And
Deason has the funniest face I've ever seen.
He does a few faces throughout this thing.
He's just like, he has the face of like, I'm amazed that I'm even here and I'm bored out of my mind type of thing.
More importantly, prove to the other teams that theirs is the best group of all. Well, I'll see you all Friday. Are there any questions?
I can't believe this. I can't believe what I saw.
I've had enough of this. I'm getting out of here.
What is this?
Oh, Leon, you poor thing, after all that work. They're not interested. They're not going to play your game.
Girls, do you think I would have spent a year designing this game without taking every possibility into account? Those five team captains were selected after months of careful research. Believe me, by Friday night, every one of them will be dying to play.
And that's the end of that silly clip. It doesn't really translate well into clips, but it's definitely, I think this is a very fun movie to watch.
I'm wondering why this didn't inspire like a whole wave of Midnight Madness type recreations in
like
real
movies?
Life.
Oh well, I've gone on wait. Scavenger hunts before.
You have?
Yeah, I had the flu. I had a high fever flu, but they needed me to be on the team because we needed a certain amount of people. I just remember I woke up next to a set of encyclopedias and like a phone, like a payphone handle and some other weird stuff, like a straw dispenser from a fast food place.
Well, that's not a good thing.
No, it was total vandal type stuff. We won, and we won.
And you won.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could say this is kind of like a precursor to all these reality shows that are on TV. That
I could see this being taken to the next level and actually being a halfway decent kind of movie that does well. You know.
Yep.
No, because I do like this movie. I think it's a cute movie. It's just didn't do very well.
It should say it's produced by Walt Disney Productions.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, right? They don't seem to be in the opening credits, though.
They are not, but they do show up. You know what I like to call this flick? It has an alternate title. I think one of the alternate titles is The All-Nighter.
Yeah, that's what you called it just now.
And the other alternate title is Product Placement Heaven.
There is a lot of brands in this.
But so all these guys
it could be balls out.
So the main teams are Dr. Pepper's team,
mm-hmm.
which is him, his soon to be girlfriend,
maybe
a dork that he's been counseling to gain confidence to pick up chicks.
Yes,
and the token black man.
Token black guy.
And drives. The other, who drives the car? He's got the car. And the other main team, I'll explain that in a sec, is the fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
The fat guy's team, played by somebody who is in Animal House, Stephen First. And a bunch of guys I've never, ever seen before.
Well, the guy Brian Frischman, again. I think it is.
Yes.
He plays Barf.
I was just looking at his IMDb, and he was in a couple of other, like, teen flicks.
He was in 1941.
He was as a USO goon.
Whatever that means. But, you know, in my childhood, I recall him having the most memorable line.
Which is?
I don't know. Did you clip it? Let's see.
No, I don't think so.
No. I'm going to find it real quick on YouTube. Because, I don't know, I think it's one of the funniest things. And for whatever reason, I repeated it, and my wife heard it, and she remembered it, too, separately.
What?
I
don't believe it. What?
Yeah. Keep talking about something, because it has to come back to me, exactly.
So, everybody, you just heard that they walked out of on Leon and said, this is all silly, but they are all eventually lured back. They each have their reasons for doing this all-nighter,
yeah.
This challenge, and I don't know if we want to play Fat Guys.
Well, here's in the Fat Guys thing. They're trying to figure out one of the clues. This doesn't really give away anything. It's just the guy's, the way he says it is so funny. And even my own kid, we were watching some of this, and we kept rewinding it because he thought it was so funny. So here's the little clip. Of course, it's not loading live, but it will. By the way, they went into a music shop, and they wrote down all the notes that were part of the clue, so they think that if you were to assemble the names of the notes, like F or A or G, it would spell something. So he's on paper, and he's trying to figure out what it says.
Harold, how long do you intend to keep driving around without notes?
Have you unscrambled those letters yet?
Bag of beefy? A bag of beefy. Really, a bag of...
Shut up!
And that's it. Fag of beefy. Fag of beefy? It's so funny.
Oh, my God.
As a kid, I remember cracking up about that. Because, you know, the guy's so dopey and everything. And as soon as I saw my kid laughing about it, then I knew. He's really mine. Fagabivi? It's just so funny. But what had happened is they had a computer that would basically solve all the riddles, like, right away. And because of Harold's eating...
habits, because he's a fat guy. And
overeats. He hid some marshmallows in the computer console. And everybody knows computers get so hot, and they melted all the marshmallow into it. And this one guy, the one Spanish guy who's with them, like, it's like the token guy with the switchblade. He's scraping all the, as he says, faggot beefy. He's taking the computer apart and scraping the marshmallow off and eating it.
Ew.
Which is kind of funny.
And his name is actually Blade.
Blade. Well, that's why he always has the switchblade, I guess. It makes sense. But Faggo Beefy is funny.
Faggo Beefy.
Faggo Beefy.
That was a clip all by itself on YouTube?
Yeah. And,
that's hilarious.
Well, 8,000 views, but still. If you type in F-A-G-A space, the first suggestion is Faggo Beefy. Historic. But anyway, back to your clips.
All right, so you want to play let's hear why the fat guy is going to do it. That is I have to go back.
Q6, I got it.
Okay.
Give me a sec here. Dun 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 dun. Just goofing around like idiots.
Harold.
Yeah, basically Harold's just hanging around for whatever reason in his the front of his house eating jelly beans, and his friends are spinning what appears to be expensive antiques and trying to like get things to break, and they're doing nothing. They're just like wastes of lives.
Stop stuffing yourself. You don't need all that.
Steel? Rosita! Rosita! Accidento! Cleano apa messo, okay?
Oh my god.
Harold! Stop teasing the maid and get in there! I want to talk to you!
Uh-oh.
Carol, you lazy slob, you never do anything. Why don't you get off your lazy butt and do something?
But Dad...
I want you to enter that Leon's great all-nighter. You hear me?
But, Dad!
Don't butt-dad me! You know, Bill Larson's boy Adam is going to be competing in the game. And I don't want you upstaged by him again. Why, that boy... Harold! Look at me when I'm talking to you! Adam is such a successful, enterprising young man. Why can't you be more like him?
Dad, I'm not Adam. Why don't you just look at me for what I am?
Yuck. Now you're entering Leon's game, and that's final.
But Dad!
No thanks, Adam.
And he gives him probably the coolest van I've ever seen in my life.
You know, it's funny. This is a Canadian production, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know for sure about that. I think it's all shot in California.
It looks like it was shot in California. Some of the locations they go to are actual.
Yeah, like the
Johnny's Burger joint
and the
telescope?
Observatory. Yeah,
and LAX, of course, if that was really LAX.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just filmed in California.
I don't know. I thought I read this was a Canadian production, and that van looks like
filming
the
locations. It's all California.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, I don't see anything outside of California.
All right, so I was going to say that van looks like the same one used in the original Prom Night, but and I mean,
I really want to get one. Like, I really like those so much.
What do you, with the computer or
without the? Well, I do have the Commodore PET now. I can pop that in. What if I were to be so obsessed with Midnight Madness that I recreate the Midnight Madness van?
Nice.
But it is a nice van, though. It's got the flames on the side, and it's just a cool-looking van.
It is. It is really nice.
There's a lot of cool cars in here. For instance, the Meat Wagon, which is...
You like that car?
Well, it's a VW Beetle.
It's a convertible, right?
So far, all of the decent flicks have VW Beetles, I think, right?
Yeah.
He drove one in the previous episode that we did. And what was the first Deason flick that we had reviewed?
The Surf 2?
Yeah, Surf 2 had a Beetle in it.
You're right. You're right.
So I'm seeing a trend here.
True.
Deason and VWs. I'm trying to think if the next episode of VHS Rewind will be War Games. So I don't know if there are any VW Beetles in that, though.
If there is, we're on to the street going.
Yeah, I mean, I know that they have a scooter, but it's not a VW. But we'll see. I'll keep my eyes open for it. Don't worry. So, do you want to do one next clip, or you want to discuss the other teams?
Yeah, so if you want to do Norton getting talked into it, just because he's the main.
Sure. He doesn't want to do it at all.
He doesn't, but that bitch.
Now, he's the freshman counselor. I just want to say that. He seems like a teacher. He's 29 years old when this movie came out. So I guess he's ripe and ready to get out of college, maybe?
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I guess it depends. Here we go.
On the teacher's porch. But my mother said the night air would be bad for my asthma. I can never do anything.
Oh, look, Flinch. Is there anything else bothering you besides schoolwork? You can tell me.
Well, yeah, I guess so. This is kind of hard for me to talk about. Well, it's about girls. Here it is, my first year in college, and
Flinch, are you trying to tell me that you're, well, you know, a virgin?
Oh, no. That is not exactly. You see, I've never had a date.
Well, I just have to interrupt this for a second. Now, you know in today's movies, when you get, like, the nerd, and it'll be, like, some, like, great-looking guy who just, they give glasses to?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, it'll be, it's just one of those type of things where they find people who are basically Calvin Klein models and put glasses on them.
Right.
This guy, people in this movie are extremely average and below average in looks. Lalin, is that his name? Dr. Pepper. He's like one of these guys who is a better looking guy, but he's kind of like, he looks like Seinfeld. But he's talking to this kid, and this kid is a total geeky, not great looking guy. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that.
So it's very strange to me, like how today's movies have really changed so much. I mean, Deason is supposed to look kind of geeky, you know, and he fills that part perfectly. But this kid is so below average in any way that once this clip is over, I'll forget what he even looks like. He's like so white bread. But anyway, here we go.
Look, Flinch, you could be a regular Burt Reynolds. No, I can tell. You've got that look about you. You go out and get yourself a date, and I guarantee your schoolwork will improve, too.
Gee, I don't know.
Oh, come on, Flinch, you can do it. You stand up and face life. You go for the gusto. Remember, never walk away from a challenge. And when it comes to women, there's nothing to it. You just be confident.
And we get Deborah Klinger walking in, who is another really good-looking chick, right?
You... are you serious? Think?
No, but I mean, she's not as cute as the Bobbsey twins, you know, the redhead and the blonde, but she's a good-looking girl. But she's like, my problem with her is she's so nice.
She is.
A little too nice. But you think she's like ugly or?
I didn't think she was pretty.
This is probably an $11 million movie.
You know, I am very shallow. So.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
At least that's what your wife says.
Oh, shit.
She does.
So, talking about Deborah Klinger.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the makeup of her team.
The yellow team, you mean?
Yes. No, she's not yellow. She's on...
No, she
oh,
is.
You're right. You're yeah. right. You're right. I was thinking... All
Which
right.
girl
oh,
were you
sorry.
Talking about?
I was thinking of the
Lucille?
What is it? The red team. Yes.
No. Wait, all red right. team? So blue team.
Blue team. So you're right.
No, those are all like monsters. This is the Laura, the girlfriend of Dr. Pepper.
Right. You know what? All right. I'm sorry. She's the cutie. I thought you were talking about Lucille.
Or Donna. Maggie or, Roswell.
No, what was their names?
Burl and Peggy.
Burl. No, Peggy and Lulu. Peggy and Lulu. The twins.
Oh, was it Peggy and Lulu?
Yes.
Oh my God, it's my father-in-law's dog's name, Lulu.
It's funny, Deborah Klinger. She's had quite a career. Most everybody else on this cast kind of stops after 1984, but Deborah Klinger is sort of she's kept going.
No, she didn't. Deborah Klinger's career ended.
Oh,
in 82.
You're right, 82. Right. All right, hold it. Wait, maybe I'm getting them confused.
She was 28 here.
Really? Wow. She yeah. looks. I thought she looked good. You're right. She was very.
She
like,
was also
cute,
I'm
the
sorry.
Cute in the real world kind of cute.
She was in the Croft Super Show as the Super Chick.
Hmm.
You know, I'm waiting to find. She was actually in a couple Croft things. I wonder if she ever showed up in any Donny Osmond stuff. That would be pretty cool.
Okay. Now I found it. Okay, so it was the red team leader.
The Maggie or whatever?
The Maggie. She's the one who kept going.
Okay.
And she's the one I thought wasn't really very attractive.
Let me see Maggie. No, not Maggie. Maggie looks like somebody's brother.
Right.
No,
you are. Her name was Donna. Her
yeah,
was...
she's apparently she's been on 213 episodes of The Simpsons.
That's incredible.
That's a tremendous amount of money. That's
yeah. she's looking more attractive.
Yeah, she's out of all these people, everyone's a loser. She wins. She was even in Bobby's World.
Okay, so the red team.
Oh, I'm sorry. What?
So the red team is Donna. This somewhat. Kind of not really attractive. Plus this really, I'm sorry, there's no other word for it. PC well, aside for a second.
What do you mean, Peggy and Lulu?
No, that Peggy and Lulu are...
Oh,
are
you're talking about the lesbian?
The lesbian, yes. I that was the word I was looking for. I was going to say dyke, but... her name is Robin Petty. I wonder if she's married, related
that's,
to...
By the way, that's Chris at VHSRewind.com. I could say dyke. I don't,
man,
I mean,
I think
all in good humor.
I think she was a girlfriend on James at 16.
I never saw James at 16.
What?
What? I don't know.
Her career stops really quickly after an episode of Hello, Larry.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And you wouldn't believe it, but the Fat Twins really went on. They had other gigs.
Always Together?
Always Together.
Yeah, they were. Apparently they were sisters.
They were in the Gong Show movie? No way.
That's something we have to review on VHS
I
Rewind.
I want to
yeah.
do that so bad.
That was on some of the early lists.
I so want to do that.
But here's the rest of your clip. All right.
Hi,
which
Adam.
One is. Oh, that one.
Hi, Laura.
All that time, I think you've been doing a really terrific job as a counselor. But what I want to know is, why don't you follow your own advice?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Leon's game, the great all-nighter. It sounds like fun. Why don't you do it?
Well, I don't know. I've been pretty busy. And...
Adam, are you really that busy? Or are you afraid you just won't do well?
What about going for the gusto? What about never walking away from a challenge? If you really believe all that, why don't you go out and prove it? If not, it would be like letting down all the freshmen you've ever advised.
Hey, what am I doing sitting around here? The game's only 3 days away. I gotta get transportation, I gotta get up a team, and...
I thought you'd never ask.
Now, what a sucker, right?
Right?
I mean, it's so easy to talk this guy into something. It's like, oh, let's also go halfsies on a condo. You know, this guy's a dummy. Falls right for those big eyes.
And it comes back later, too, when she, like, lectures him about the way he's treating his bro.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do our first Deason clip. Here's why Deason comes on to the...
Yeah. The Deason lecture
against
football. Give me a sec here. We're playing these a little out of order, which is what's giving me a little bit of a problem. But here we go.
Last time is designed for mindless apes to play. And then there is the question as to whether football players belong in an academic institution in the first place. Let us be frank. It is certainly no secret that these mentally deficient, giant, uncivilized vulgarians care nothing about the nobler pursuits, such as art, music, and library science. Well, I think I've made myself quite clear. And if there are any comments from the audience, just feel free to toss them right up here.
Oh, yeah!
On the front, manners. Basically, it's the jocks versus the nerds, and I feel as though Revenge of the Nerds came from this one scene. They wrote they're like, you know what would make a good movie? And that's it. That's how it was born.
Although Deason was a better nerd.
Yeah.
Deason is
the ultimate nerd.
So those jocks are the green team, and they call themselves the Meat Machine. I thought they were saying Mean Machine for a while.
No, the Meat Machine's painted on the side of their... I'm going to guess 1969 VW Beetle.
I bet you wanted that.
No.
You didn't want that?
You know, back in the 80s, people really beat on these cars a lot. That particular one is not, I would take it and rebuild it, maybe.
Is that one with the gas tank in the back, so if you get rear-ended, you're going to blow up?
No, the engines are in the back of those things.
Oh,
the
engines.
Gas tanks are always in the front.
Ooh, even worse.
Yeah.
All these guys, all these jocks have really weird names. The leader is Lavitas, and there's Blaylock and Armpit. I don't know. It's just really strange names throughout this movie.
I thought that the jocks were really weak throughout the entire thing until they get to the Pabst Blue Ribbon factory.
It's amazing, but we'll get there. But I just could not believe, in a Disney production,
yes,
how much Pabst Blue Ribbon was being foisted onto...
See, I don't believe that this was originally a Disney production. There's no way.
But it is. He wants to beat the jocks. The jocks also went after Donna's... I think she was opening a sorority or something, or she was trying to get members, and they just crashed that. So they want to do it because the jocks are in it.
Well, why don't we go to the next Deason thing where he assembles his team?
Okay, let's do that.
And all right, I will. We'll just have to get to it.
And in conclusion, this can be our chance to finally show those football gorillas how real men compete.
Wesley is right, especially after what those guys did to us at the debate.
All in favor?
Aye! Motion carry!
That was it.
And that's it. I mean, there's lots of quick clips of Deason in this.
Yeah, like they have scooters, which I think is kind of cool. They're on mopeds, I guess.
You like, but in another scene, they're pedaling them.
Well, you do. That's the way it works. You would pedal them to
get them going.
No, you could. I think it was you could use pedal power or gas power.
Interesting.
Pretty sure that's how it worked. I think the pedal power generated electricity for something. I'm not really sure. But those are uber nerdy back then. Wow.
So all the teams come together, and so here's Leon addressing the teams.
All right.
I don't know if you want to do that
one. Yeah, of course. I just have to get to it. I'm sorry.
Here, we can begin. Candy and Sunshine and I will be running the game from my apartment, henceforth to be known as Game Control. We'll be plotting your progress on the game map. You must phone in from each clue location so that we can keep track of you at all times. It is now sunset. Candy and Sunshine will distribute the first clue. Reversed. SS Itari is mixed up and blind. 38, 22, 23, 56, 10, 11. Well, teams, good luck. I'll see you at the finish line. Wherever that may be.
All right, man, huddle up.
And, you know, it's really kind of anticlimactic. It's like, okay.
Well, now everybody starts deciphering the clue.
Right.
So we won't do all the clues, but yeah. We just wanted to give you...
Which one do you want to do this one?
I mean, so, yeah, just do the deciphering the clue.
All right.
Because it's going to lead us to the next Eddie clip.
All right, here we go.
Okay, Blalack, Kudzo, Gerber, Armpit. Now, we've always been the best offensive line there is. And tonight we're going to uphold that tradition. Because who are we?
M-E-A-T-M-A-C-H-I-N-E! Mean Machine! Mean Machine! All right! Right!
All right, man, let's go!
Right!
Come on, get in, get in! Figure out that glue! Get in!
Come on, we better go.
Hey, wait a second. Flinch!
Hey, come on, Flinch.
But my mother's gonna kill me.
Oh. Will you come on?
Flinch.
Take this clue one piece at a time. Now, what's the first sentence?
The sea is reversed.
Okay, well, that could be the ocean or the beach.
But it says the sea is reversed. Maybe that means we should go away from the beach.
I've got it! The sea is reversed means to take the words the sea and reverse them. That way you get...
Viva! Yeah, but what's the second part of the clue?
SS Itari is mixed up and blind.
Mr. Chairman, regarding the portion SS Itari is mixed up, I move that mixed up means the letters in the word SS Itari are scrambled up.
Very good. But the clue says SS Itari is mixed up and blind. What does he mean by blind?
Well, that's the simple part. Blind means to
take out its eyes! Eyes, you can't!
Stars?
You're right.
Put
everything together. Wax Museum!
A map to the stars' homes.
The stars on Hollywood Boulevard!
The Stargate Disco!
Come on, Harold, let's go!
I'm gonna play
all
this
the club. Other teams are way ahead of us.
Yeah, Harold. What are you waiting for?
Quick, what kind of computer is it?
I suppose we may-
this is like some homemade little thing. It's like a 5-inch screen. I don't know what this thing is. But it's kind of... I like this scene because I like how cocky he is and everything. It's very funny.
May as well get going. We don't want to make it too late of a night now, do we?
It's actually a Gordon. It says a Gordon Wizard 847.
I'll check that.
Wizard is spelled W H I Z Z A R D.
Now watch this.
And that quickly just figures it out, and that's it. So is anything a Gordon Wizard?
No, I was looking. There is a wizard software with a... What was it? With Gordon at wizardsoftware.com. U.S. company located in Pittsburgh, but... No good images.
I might have found something, but we'll look into that on our own. I'll need it for the recreation of the van. See, you laugh. But.
All right, so that's basically like what the flick is, and everybody is rushing to different points to find clues.
Right, so you go to one place, and then you get a new clue to go to the next place, and so on and so forth.
And eventually you figure it out. Let's do the Eddie clip on Hollywood Boulevard, just to hear his mellifluous voice.
Let's say this star is exactly 38 feet from the corner. It's the 22nd from the east and the 23rd from the west. You guys think that means anything?
Perhaps it's in code.
That's Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
So this clue actually leads them to the observatory that you mentioned.
Right, which and I've been to in real life. Have you ever
you
been?
You have
to-
been? No, yeah. I...
It's a wonderful place, but I think they're rebuilding it right now. I was there before 9/11, like 2000. But I believe there was some famous movie that was also shot there. I want to say a James Dean movie. I'm not sure. But it's pretty cool. It's a beautiful place.
In this scene... Here's where I posted on our Facebook page the question, what do Little House
yes,
and Midnight Madness have in common? And I could not believe you didn't get it.
No, what?
I also posted it on our Walnut Grove podcast
you
Facebook
mean Walnut
page.
Grove cast?
Walnut Grove cast. In case anybody's interested.
I still don't get it, though. What's...
Okay, you watch the movie, right?
How dare you.
All right.
How dare
hold on,
you,
I'm
sir.
Looking. I'm just looking for his name. So at
John
the
Fielder?
No, he's a TV personality.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk about him in a minute, but not that's not a Little House. Hold on, I'm just... here it is. So... At the observatory, Norton wants to look through. They figure out that this clue is see the stars with I don't know what those numbers are called, but to look in the sky.
Right.
And there's a fat kid hogging the telescope.
Yeah.
because he wants to see Venus's two moons.
Yes.
And of course, he's looking at a naked lady. And the fat kid was on an episode of Little House called For Love of Nancy. Yes. For the Love of Nancy.
Wow.
He played Elmer Miles.
And at the end is where he started running?
Or is it Jeff Miles? I think it's Jeff. No, it's Elmer. It's Elmer.
It's got to be Elmer.
He's the fat kid.
Yeah.
Because on IMDb, he is known for Midnight Madness.
That's really funny. But not Little House, which is ironic.
But not the Little House.
It's a Bad News Bears
TV show.
Oh,
holy
look at
shit,
that.
There was a Bad News Bears TV show?
I bet you. It couldn't have lasted too long.
So it was just so strange how I watched this movie, and then my kids put on that episode.
No way.
And I was like, I know that kid.
Fat kid?
The fat kid.
Because it's about the same era.
It is. It is.
I mean, he might have been a little bit older in that. Well,
no, I think it was exactly
the same era.
I think it was the same. He just had a different haircut. But it was just really funny.
That's really ironic. That's actually a great catch. You should look up One Oak Grove Cast if you want to check out a really
check our other podcast, our sister podcast.
It's a really interesting show about everything about a little house on the prairie. Even the rape episode.
It should be said that while all this is going on, Leon, back at his apartment with his two hoes, his landlady keeps coming in, threatening to evict him for the noise, but then the neighbors aren't. They get interested in what he's doing. And John Fiedler, as we mentioned, the character actor extraordinaire from 70s television, he's one of them. And a whole bunch of other neighbors that, again, people we've never seen before, never will see again.
In a huge apartment, by the way.
Yeah, really? For college students?
It reminded me of the Laverne and Shirley apartment for some reason.
they lived in a basement, though, didn't they?
Yes. But, you know, a basement with like 10-foot ceilings. You know?
Yeah, that's just a shirt. And so, this is around about this time we kind of meet Michael J. Fox for the first time.
Right.
Like ever, this is his feature film debut, his first scene on screen, and here he is.
By the way, I'm looking at the Jeep, and I think it's just a regular old Jeep.
I will look for that answer while you play the Fox clip.
All right.
The first clip at 36.
I know, 3628. Hold on. My computer is being very temperamental with these times, so I'll be a little early on this.
Hey, Adam, doesn't that kid look like your brother?
That is my brother.
Brother.
Hey! Hey, Scott, what are you doing out here? Trying to get me in trouble? You know, it's a good thing Mom and Dad are still out of town. They'd really be mad at me if they knew you were out here. I'm responsible for you. San Francisco? If I weren't right in the middle of something, I'd take you back home this minute. But for now, you're just going to have to come along with us.
Now, a lot of people might think of Michael J. Fox was a mute. He couldn't
talk. And that was his first scene where... You think he would... Why is he not speaking
Yeah, it's almost
word?
Like they specifically said, do not say a word. You have no dialogue.
It is
do
just
not talk.
Funny. Especially like, hey, leave me alone. I
yeah,
want to go away, I mean, wherever he's going.
I mean, easily there could have been filler dialogue. Kind of like, it's none of your business, bro. You know, like anything stupid. But even when he does open up his mouth, there's really not that much coming out.
Well, if you want to play that scene at
39, 39:10. Okay. Here we go.
This game is stupid. Who cares about it anyway?
Is that it?
That's it. That is it. Count how many words he speaks in this movie.
This game is stupid.
I'm telling you, he's like on drugs or something. That alcohol habit.
Yeah, it's definitely strange, but always good to see Michael J. Fox. He's a beloved American actor.
Maybe not in this movie.
No, not in this movie, even though he does save the day.
According to an unofficial website, that yellow team is, they're not riding in a Jeep. It's a Toyota Land Cruiser.
Oh, all right.
And it does say Toyota on it. You do see it.
I could have sworn it did, but I just looked at it and it did look like a regular Jeep to me. But it makes sense. I can't imagine Jeep making yellow Jeeps. I love the way that the front window folds down and stuff. But so it's a Land Cruiser?
It's a Land Cruiser, according to this website.
That's cool. All right, I stand corrected.
So, and at this, there's a point where one of the clues leads them to, I guess, a piano shop.
Yes.
And there's kind of like a brief musical number between Fat Boy's team or two of the guys on there.
That's where they get Fango Beefy.
I thought that was kind of cute. And the clue is a series of letters that is described as Leon's theme.
No, it's the Pabst Blue Ribbon
theme. No, but it's just described as Leo's theme. Oh, but it takes the jocks to come along at 40:07 to figure it out.
Here we go.
And
look.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. I know that song anyway. I got Pabst Blue Ribbon on my mind. It's the Pabst Blue Ribbon beer song. The next clue must be at the Pabst Brewery!
Basically!
I want to
say that guy, that the Pabst Blue Ribbon guy, that figures it out.
He has had
a long career. He's been around.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of things, right?
Yes, he has. I thought I recognized him, but I couldn't think of what.
Yeah.
He's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine right now.
I'd have to see what he looks like. I don't watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but he definitely looks familiar from
lots of TV. Lots of TV.
Now, have you ever had Pabst Blue Ribbon beer?
I have not. It took me. I researched that. That's an actual. That is their actual jingle. I posted that on our Facebook page.
That's funny. Now, Pabst Blue Ribbon is swill. It's awful, right? It's just cheap beer.
Worse than Bud Light.
I don't know if I've ever had Bud Light, but probably because. You know how you've had, like, Budweiser or you've had, like, regular beer, right?
Yeah.
And there's a certain beer flavor to it, but it's bitter, which is what you kind of want in a beer. There's a certain bitterness. So with Pabst, it's almost like somebody threw in a Sweden Low or something. There's some type of weird sweetness to it.
Ew.
And it immediately makes me want to vomit. I remember my old roommate, he's like, yeah, I'm going to Manhattan. We're going to go to this bar called The Library. They have $1 Pabst Blue Ribbons. And I had never had one. So I'm like, all right, I'll take a ride. I'll check it out, you know. And I literally took a sip of it. Well, he had a friend who was bartending, and it was this whole stupid thing. When you're in bands, you deal with this kind of nonsense. So we went there, and I'm like, this is the worst thing I've ever had in my life. And he's like, it's great. What are you talking about? And other people thought I was nuts. I just thought it was the most disgusting thing I've ever had in my whole life.
I don't think I've ever had Pabst.
Pick it up. Try it out.
Ugh. Is it still around?
Yeah, they still make it.
Pabst is still around.
It's
all
a total, like, what do you call these, like, modern, like, these mods? What's the new word for mods? Hipsters.
I have no idea. Oh, hipsters.
Yeah. So, it's like a hipster beer. Because it's swill.
The hipsters like it because it's swill.
Because it's cheap. I'm drinking what real working class people drink, you know?
All right, wait. What's worse, Pabst or Old Milwaukee?
I've never had Old Milwaukee, but I can imagine Old Milwaukee might be more thick.
Man.
I've only drank good beers in my life. What's your, you know, not to get totally on a tangent, do you have a favorite beer?
I like imported beers. I like, you know, certainly Sapporo.
Mm-hmm.
I like Heineken's. Like I like.
I like fresher Heineken. Like, if you can find a place with Heineken on tap, and it's fresh-ish, then
Okay.
Otherwise, it's very skunky. But you know what's a great beer? But you have to drink it ice cold.
I like Sam Adams. Yeah,
it's a Red Stripe. It's a Jamaican.
I never had
beer.
It. Never you, had it.
They have it at Trader Joe's. It comes in a cool little bottle, which is for one.
I do know
cool.
the bottle. I yeah. do know.
Definitely try it. It's a light beer. It's a, you know, it's a light. It's a summer type of beer, and I love it.
Buzz. It gives me a buzz.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's. I mean, was 3.6% alcohol. It's like, you know, you're not going to get much more than that in the States.
It's no Chimay, which is like 15% alcohol.
No, you know, but it's not. It's not like a high calorie beer either. It's like just a regular good. Like lager.
Okay. All right.
Just try it.
I do like, I say, I do like the shape of the bottle.
Also, so. Magic Hat number 9 is very good. If you ever had that.
I mean, some funny things happen at the Pabst Blue Ribbon. You know, Blaylock, who's in his element,
yeah.
falls into a, you know, that's kind
Jumps
of funny stuff.
I think it's more visual.
Yeah, it's all visual, but there's some funny stuff there. And I want to make clear, there are funny things that happen at various points.
Yes.
Let's see. What's the next?
The Fat Boy Burger?
Yeah, let's do the Fat Boy Burger. Because I think that's where Fox speaks again.
Now, Fat Boy is a real place, you know. And they make,
it is.
They make really good burgers.
Have you been there, too?
Yeah. You gotta go there, man. Hold on.
I didn't realize it's still around to this day.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna get a
that's
burger...
That's what's crazy.
If you're gonna get a burger, you're gonna go to either In-N-Out... Or you're gonna go to Fat Boy. There we go. That's him in the beer.
Hey, sir, I said it's not for me. It's for my brother and his friends.
Fox wants the beer.
Yeah. And the bartender's smoking, which is kind of funny
and,
to just
and
to
he's
see.
All sweaty too.
He's
it's
all
like...
sweaty. He's got like pomade in his hair.
And I think that's just like, oh, they didn't have a budget for makeup.
And if you know, I don't know if he talks, but it seems like he's also being told not to talk.
Yeah, he doesn't talk. He blows a whistle. But yeah. Now Fox gets accosted by cops. He's not crying out.
No.
He's not doing anything. I'm like.
You'll hear it. It's a very quiet thing that's about to happen. It's like.
Hey, mellow out.
It must be.
I'll handle this. Hey, what's going on? Hey, hold on a second. Hey, wait a minute.
By the way, it takes 3 security guards to lift this 80-pound, like, 15-year-old kid.
Hey, excuse me, Officer Palmer. I'm sure we can work this out. You see, that's my little brother.
So they all just ran out.
Well, Scott, I hope you're satisfied. Now we'll never find the clue.
So they're in the back of the loading docks, and ironically enough, the guy in the loading dock is placing pallets of beer
with Leon's image on it.
Right.
Which, how did he set that up?
It's genius.
They spend 10 minutes at Pabst, it must be known. Yeah. I just like, wow.
Yeah. Now, have you ever gone to a beer tour like this?
No, but I went to a restaurant yeah. that brewed their own beer.
Oh, okay. That's where I saw Bow Wow Wow at a place like that. I did. That's funny. Back in the 90s.
So they had the big vats there.
Yeah. Which is impressive.
Do they serve samples? I went to a potato chip factory and they gave samples.
Did you go to like Utz or something?
No, it was one of the New England.
Oh, okay.
What the hell's the name of it? I can't think of it. It'll come to me.
No, okay. I know what you mean, though, but I've never been to one. But my wife was telling me that when she was younger, her brother and her sister used to, every summer, load into the caravan with their dad, and they would drive across country. It was like, she's been to like all but 2 states, you know?
Nice.
Which is, I think, incredible. So... They went to the Heineken, no, the Budweiser factory, and they were giving out samples. And I think Darren had a few too many, and he had to, like, before he left, he had to, like, sober up. He was just, but he was like, have as much as you want type of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I bet they don't do that anymore.
No, from what I understand, maybe they do. I don't know. I mean, they have to be somewhat responsible if you're driving home. I mean, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
But it's just like anywhere, I guess. You should know your own limits. But it was the 80s, so whatever.
I know, right? God, I missed my time.
Wouldn't you love to just drive cross country?
Alone?
No, yes. With your kids.
No!
Daddy, I gotta pee.
Are we there yet?
That's why you have an RV, dude.
Ouch.
What we need to do is bring the show on the road, you know? We'll go cross-country and have VHS Rewind meetups. We have, like, three people, like... All right. That's enough depression. So, all right. So, they get the next clue from the Pabst Blue Ribbon factory.
Which leads them to the Fat Boy.
Yeah, and then we find out that it's actually Michael J. Fox's birthday.
And that's why he's sad.
That's why he's running away, nobody's paying attention.
Because Dr. Pepper's not, he doesn't remember that it's his birthday.
Wah.
Oops. let's see, let me just forwarding, we don't care.
I got a Deezen clip here if you want me
to. Yeah, let's go to Deezen. We're almost 2 hours. That's another thing about this movie. It's a little bit long. I mean, it's almost 2 hours.
Yeah, it took me two viewings to get through this.
I was like, holy smokes, this is long.
They're playing miniature golf.
Fire!
Out of my way, Poindexter. We're playing through.
That's it. Okay, right. Right. Come on, let's do it now.
Come on. Let's go.
All right.
Come on,
baby. We got it now. Play that. That ball's in our way.
I'll get rid of it.
Hey, wait just a minute. I object. Is this the only way you slabs of meat know how to handle anything? Can't you guys ever act civilized and work things on an intellectual level?
Hey, you know, fellas, Wesley's absolutely right.
Yeah.
I mean,
man,
we should be ashamed of ourselves.
Ooh. Sir, may I have the floor?
The chair recognizes armpit.
I move that we refer this matter to another committee.
All in favor?
Aye!
Those guys!
Wesley really got mad.
He did.
Yeah, there's some cringeworthy things. It's almost like they shot this movie and didn't edit it down. This movie should have been 88 minutes.
Yeah, this thing should have been. Yeah, I agree.
So I say we just kick through.
So they
this.
just go here, they go there, and eventually they're at a hotel where Leon and his hoes have a room, and now Leon's got all his neighbors there, plus some cops.
There's Plus so many Marvin subplots Kaplan, to this,
Marvin
too.
Marvin Kaplan from Alice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a funny line, which I didn't clip, but he's got a funny line. Nicely delivered. Oh, you know what? We missed there is one clip I did want to play.
Yeah, go for it.
But I can't. They go to a pinball place, and Pee-wee Herman shows up.
Yeah, we have this.
He's got one funny line, really, really well delivered, where two of the teams are fighting, and he steps into the middle.
All right, here we go. Like pigs.
Get out of our way, you big slugs.
Girls, you're looking at the meat machine. No one's been able to penetrate our front line in the last 22 games.
Oh. Secure,
And Paul Reumann just pops in here, and it's amazing because it's like, now we, you know, do you remember him in that?
Say that again.
Do you remember Pee Wee Herman in Cheech and Chong?
I do not. Which one?
Oh, okay. Up in Smoke or one of those? The 70s ones. That's where he really started.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I'll dig up a clip for later. But it's just funny. He pops in and is like, oh my God, it's like Pee Wee Herman. I'm saying, we know who he is now.
Not but, as Pee Wee Herman, right? I mean,
no,
it was...
but sort of the Pee Wee Herman character a little bit.
Really? Okay.
I'd say so. But here we go.
Reporters!
Break!
Aim!
All right. I think it's time we all started acting like adults. Let's all sit down and discuss this calmly, rationally, and intelligently. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, I always like Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, he can be funny. He can be funny. I get tired of the Pee Wee Herman shtick.
Yeah. In the 80s and, well, I guess 80s, it kind of wore a bit thin. But
Pee Wee's Big Adventure is great.
Yeah.
Big Top Pee Wee,
not so much. You know, Betsy likes that movie, and I'm like, why? Like, there's nothing to like about it. And I know he has some new thing that...
He had a new movie out that I just... Well, there's that, but I just don't see it working without it being a little...
Well, I guess it's kind of like the Beastie Boys still call themselves the Beastie Boys, you know? Some things you just can't just change the name of. And Paul Reumann's always going to be Paul Reumann. Although,
right.
He was in that movie Blow as a drug dealer.
But that's still right. Pee-wee that's Herman. Right.
You look at him, you still think, well, it's Pee Wee Herman doing blow, you know? But I do have a Deason clip here.
Oh, all right.
Deason clip.
Well, let's just, you talked about so many subplots. There is
a little too much.
But there's too many, and one of them is, again, the relationships between Fox and Dave and Dr. Pepper, and we're not going to tell you how it turns out.
Because we don't know, really. Come on.
But,
the whole thing's left
up in the air. We're trying to get through this now.
All right.
So let's do Deason.
All right.
Fault, Donna. Now the Starfire team's ruined, and my squad has no way to get the clue.
Oh, yeah, well, at least your stupid squad has your stupid mopeds. We may have the clue, but our truck is ruined.
Yeah, well, you deserve it.
We deserve it. Who calls anybody a squad anyway? You, do you look at you and all your debaters are the clue? All together.
I beg your pardon. I will try it.
Excuse me, but there may be a logical solution here. If our team and their team were to make a deal.
Never!
Classic music. So they're all riding on mopeds, and they're going to finish together.
Everybody's rushing to the final location.
Why don't you just describe the last scene, I guess? I don't know.
Everybody's rushing to get to the final location. It's a room in a hotel. We lose track of Deason and the Don at the Red and Deason's team.
Right.
And it's just between the yellow and the green. And they're rushing up in an elevator, but then the fat guy's team turns off the elevators. He's running up the stairs, but he hasn't eaten, so he has no energy.
And it's funny. Yes,
and it just comes down to, you know, edge of your seat. Who's going to win? And, of course, the good team wins.
And also the elevator stops. But they have to pick the lock. Of course, the token black guy knows how to pick locks. And he uses Scott's retainer. His name was Scott, right?
Yes, Michael J. Fox's. Yes.
Uses his retainer, which is, what, $500, to pick the lock. And they get up there, and in the last second, they do a Keystone Cops type of caper where the green team was turning on a hose and it blasts into the police and they run around it and they run in and they win. And what did they win?
Their dignity.
Yeah, their dignity. And, you know, Dr. Pepper gets the girl.
A free food spread.
Oh, yeah, the free food.
And I thought for sure, like, the girls, Leon's hoes, would have some more dialogue, but they didn't.
No.
They were just there to look pretty.
You know, I think that this movie was a lot of fun, but it was very long.
It was really very long, and...
It's good to watch this movie in two sittings.
Yeah, I might have my kids watch it. I mean, I think it's...
Rami watched it, but he got bored with it.
Did he?
Yeah, you know, some of the scenes go on and on.
Yeah, there's not enough funny.
I mean, some things are funny, and you have to let me know if your girls like the fag of beefy.
And for us, there's like a lot of nostalgia with...
sure, arcades.
You know, Michael J. Fox, arcades, Starfire, the video
game. That's right, Starfire. You said you played it when you were a kid, right?
I did. I played that a lot. There's just a lot of stuff here that... will keep somebody of our generation interested.
Sure.
This has a DVD release, I think.
Does it really?
I think it does.
Well, it was shot in 35mm, but the print we have is pan and scan. So I wouldn't mind finding a widescreen 35mm copy. It looks like it's relatively nicely filmed. It's
on Blu-ray with extras.
No, really?
I don't know. Oh. I wonder what Michael J. Fox thinks of this movie.
I don't think he thinks about this movie.
If he does, he can't speak very well about it.
I think he goes, that's before family ties. It's before I was getting a paycheck. But all right, man. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, I say we see this movie. It was a lot of fun. And that's it.
All right, we're moving on to War Games now.
Yeah, War Games is going to be awesome, dude.
All right, I don't know how this movie holds up. No computer movie holds up. You realize that, right?
Technology-wise, you're not going to be overwhelmed, but when it comes down to it, the politics of the movie itself will be an eye-opener. And not only that, you're going to see how like they go and do a number of things that we do all the time. Like go on the computer and make plane reservations. Or really anything. But the movie is beautifully filmed. So I think that will be good.
All right. Looking forward to it.
All right, man. So, yeah, we'll see you next time for D's and Palooza.
Bye-bye.